before the message. But right before the message, let me share a few things with you. Back on the back table, there are to bring to donate for the flood victims. If you could bring those from 4:15 this afternoon until church time. Then in the morning, from like 7:15 or so until 9:30, when Brother Lloyd Morgan will be pick them up. Just items that you know you thought, if I were in the flood and most of everything I've lost, household items and everything, I was going back in to clean up whatever, what would I need? Well, this is a list of some of the things you're going to need. And also, those will be going, he'll be bringing the truck here tomorrow morning to pick those up. Then if you can't bring those, or you can do both, we'll take a receive offering this morning after the service that will go to those churches, not to the churches, for their flood relief. And the churches in the eastern part of North Carolina will handle that to distribute, as they know better than we, for the cause of them. And it's such a tragic thing. Our nation has been so blessed, and God's still blessing. Not like he wants to, not like he would, because of sin. And our job as Christians is just to trust him and just humble ourselves and pray for our nation, for the things that we need, the blessings of God on our nation once again. And Brother Jason's going to pray with us before I preach.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for your presence this morning. I want to thank you, Father, for how much you've done for us, for who you are as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we know that you're still on the throne. And Lord, I just ask, Father, that this morning there is a remnant here, Father, seeking your presence. There are people that are prayed for your presence to come and for us to feel that mighty move of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just ask, Father, that would come upon the pastor. Lord, I pray, Father, that an unction from the Holy One would come. I pray, dear Lord, that it would fill his mouth and fill his heart, dear Lord. And I pray, Father, that everything that he preaches would mean something heavenly to us this morning. Lord, I pray, Father, that lives would be changed. I pray, Father, for some lost sinner here in the house this morning. Lord, there are sinners in the house. There are people who are lost in the house. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would come, that you would speak sweet peace unto their soul. Tell them, dear Lord, that they can be, that they are lost and that they can be saved by your precious blood. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that would fill their hearts. They would bow down at this old-fashioned altar and come to the saving knowledge of you. Lord, I pray, Father, for your presence to fill this room this morning more than it ever have in the entirety of the time that this church has been here. Lord, I pray, Father, that your presence would come this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Brother, turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, fourth division of the book of Proverbs. It's not the message I had intended to preach or wanted to preach, but it's the message for this morning. Of course, it's God's. He's always right. I was wrong. The message I was praying about, staying at about until after 3 o'clock this morning, was in the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel is the book where God had me open when he had sent me to the most southwest corner of our nation to pray. He had it all fixed up as he always does. When he sends me to a place, I just want it to be he and me. However, that's a board of our nation. It could have been hundreds of people there. But God fixed it so there wasn't. A few days before I got there, he had sent a storm off the Pacific down below San Diego and flooded the area, and they wouldn't let anyone through. And everybody was coming through the gates and turning back. And I said, can I get there? Yes, you'll take the long way around. That just suits me. So took the long way around, walking, of course, and got there, and nobody there but me and the good Lord. And so he showed me some things from the book of Ezekiel. Remember Ezekiel? Born in Jerusalem, but because of Israel's sin, he and the other people of Israel were taken to Babylon. There he died. Because of sin. And God has a message for us, for America, And I would, God, would we wake up. Hopefully that will be next Sunday morning. But this morning, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, listen attentively as we read. This is the message God wants us to hear this morning. In fact, the first verse says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of the father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said to me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thy death embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." Simple, easy to understand instruction. Solomon doing the writing, of course, and he did that which he, his father, had instructed him to do, get wisdom. However, he couldn't get it within himself, but remember what God told him, because he gave of his self once he inherited the throne, and God had put him on the throne of David, his father. He sought the Lord. He offered sacrifice, hundreds of sacrifices unto the Lord. He gave himself to God. And the principle is this. When you give yourself to God and you bring sacrifices to him. Now, he was bringing sacrifices of animals and slaying them and offering them unto the Lord. God made it more simple for you and for me. Paul told us how to do it. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice." God wants me on the altar. He wants you on the altar. He wants our nation on the altar. But how we have strayed. We can't talk about others that strayed because we can't do anything about that. But we surely can do something within our own heart, allow him to do something within their own heart, and trust him, and look to him. And the understanding we get, and the wisdom we get, will be from him. Remember what God has said to Solomon? "I've seen all you've offered me, your heart's right." And God knew his heart. Solomon didn't even know his own heart. But God said, "Solomon, I've just got to pay you back. Because when you seek me, I will always reward you." And God said to him, "Do you want honor?" "No, I'm not looking for that." That pleased God. He doesn't want you or me to look to get honor. "Do you want fame? I've got ability to give you fame." "No, I don't want that." "Do you want riches? I've got everything up here. I just love to give them to you, Solomon, because your heart's right. And you prayed the right prayer. And what do you want?" He said, "I just want wisdom and understanding and knowledge to lead your people." Well, when you do that, when your heart is not for you, it was to do something in your heart to help someone else. What a blessing. Just so amazing this morning that I had a cousin call me from a different state. Third cousin, hadn't seen him in 40 years. Actually called me yesterday, and I was on my way to church here and didn't get to talk to him very long, so I called him back this morning and helped me pray for him. God's put a burden on my heart for all my cousins. Don't know all of them, but all of them I do know. And he admitted this morning to me, I need the Lord. I want to get right with the Lord. So pray for me that I'll find the time and opportunity. And the time is one thing, but the opportunity to go when God says go is the most important thing. And if we could have a burden for the lost, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's for someone else, it's for a nation, all the people that's out in sin. And the understanding God gave to Solomon was to help the people. It wasn't for his own good. And when we get to have a burden of our heart for others, our nation is sin sick, we know that. We don't have to preach that. And all we have to do is say, God, give me the wisdom, give me the understanding, give me the grace, give me the things I need to do to get myself where you want me, and just let me be a vessel. Let's look at the text together. And first of all, we see that what's offered here is obedience. Because God's got it all laid out. He's got it all fixed up. He's got it all planned. He's got your life plan, my life plan, for a purpose of bringing Him glory. And the only way we're going to achieve it is obedience. He said, I have a loving mother, Solomon did, and didn't get to see a lot of his father. His father had many children, and he was the king. David was the king. And what little time he had for Solomon, he acknowledged it here, and he said, they gave me good advice. A loving mother, very important. Women, mothers. The most important thing you could ever do is get in the throne room every day on behalf of your children and your grandchildren and others around you. God would honor that. And fathers, I know you're busy, but God has always allocated enough time for you, for me, if we will take advantage of it, to seek His face, to lay on our face for our children and for our grandchildren and others' children. You see, other parents of children don't know God, many of them, most of them probably. And God's counting you to be a prayer warrior, father and mother, on behalf of those other children that don't have parents that love and obey God. It's an amazing thing God has trusted us. Isn't it wonderful that God could trust us? Or that I shouldn't say He could. I don't know if He could or not. Isn't it amazing God would trust us in this generation, knowing how wicked it would be, knowing how people were falling away, leaving the faith, and most of them that's left probably never came to it anyway, just in their head. But the real deal is when He gets in your heart. You can't leave that, because He that began a good thing will accomplish it in the day of the Lord Jesus. If God started something in your heart and you accepted it and the seed was planted, it will come up. You may falter. You may go against the will of God many times, but that seed is there. So Solomon has given us good instructions. And these instructions will do something for us and our nation. It will be obedience. First of all, if you don't have the obedience, you're not willing to obey the instructions you've already got. Why would we come before God and the altar or anywhere else and say, God, give me something else to do? Well, He's already given us a lot to do. He's given us to pray. He's given us to seek His face. He's given us to obey His word. And if we don't do that, why would He want to give us anything else? We'd falter on that too. So obedience is the key. Now, the obedience is to serve in the earth, because when we serve one another in the earth, we're representing Him. Remember, He's on the throne, has need of nothing. He's all powerful. But God chose to use people because there is needs in this earth. And then you're given unto the Lord when you give to help flood victims. Yesterday, they had a benefit here, and it was wonderful. And they raised $1,100 to help the cause in Africa, Brother Tom Shashar. He's going over there preaching revivals. And in his ministry, you know, he goes 3 or 4 months a year, sometimes more, and stays and teaches them how to farm and helps them farm and raise hogs and raise chickens and the drill well and the plant churches. And he has personally seen over 700,000 souls come to the Lord, because when he goes over there, principals call him and, would you come preach to our school? That's foreign to us, isn't it? It wasn't when I was a child. And so he gets more school opportunities than he can even have time for. And every student and the teachers and the prince all come, and he preaches open air. And so yesterday they had raised $1,100 for that great need. God counts it a joy and a blessing when you and I give up ourselves to help someone else, because that ends up helping people and leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ so many times. It also teaches in this precious word not only obedience and not only service, but it teaches singleness of heart. If we have the same heart that Jesus has, as He is in this world, so are we. We ought to have the mind of Christ. What would that be? To seek and to save that which was lost. If everything we did was for the purpose, for the concern, for the furtherance of the gospel, that our lives would be counted a blessing to Him, just to fall on our face before Him and say, Lord, I want to have a heart to have the same desire as You do. And you know what? We wouldn't have to ask each other, I want to have the same heart as You do, Brother Gunn. Let's get together and find out what that would be. Well, if we get our heart on Him, our hearts will be the same, because we'll have Him in our heart. And every one of us this morning could have that singleness of heart. When we have service to others in this world, whether it be lost people that needs something that we can give them, a kind word, a prayer, it will teach us to have that singleness of heart. And then when we do these things, we're really giving service unto the Lord. We're helping one another. We're praying for each other. We're seeking the things that God would have for one another. But really, it's service unto the Lord. And that's what He's teaching us in here. And then once you start doing that, one of the most important things comes about, the sincerity of the heart. When you have a singleness of heart and you want what He wants. Every one of us will have the same desire because we'll want what He wants. And that is to seek and to save that which was lost, to be about our Father's business, to take the opportunity that He gives us, and to cause us to love Him more and to worship Him more. So we've seen the obedience factor. Let's look at the not only the obedience factor, but let's look as subjectively at the opportunities He gives us. You know, God gives us up open doors. He'll give you something to do. Maybe a prayer to pray. Sometimes He'll wake you up in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day. You're busy. I'm busy. We all have things that we need to do, important things. Work, service to our neighbor, service to the Lord. But the opportunities He presents us. Sometimes, oftentimes, you have to go out of your way because I just have one track mind. And that one track, I don't need to be disturbed when I'm praying, when I'm seeking His face, because other things distract me. He knows that. You may be able to carry four or five different things and go from here to there. You may, but if you're like me, you probably won't do any of them justice. But when you have a singleness of heart, I want to steal away with You, God. I just don't want any distractions for a while. That's why I usually do my best studying after midnight. Because the phones aren't ringing, and it's just me and Him. I just like to get alone, just me and Him. Whether it's up in the mountains or wherever He sends me, just me and Him. Sometimes it's here behind the pulpit, whatever it is. Singleness of heart. To seize the opportunities. God wants to give you and I more opportunities to serve Him. And if you will get alone with God and say, Lord, I want to do that which You bid me do. Somebody in need, whatever it is, I don't know what I need. You know, You arrange my time. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if you want opportunity to talk to someone that's lost, or to help some individual that's strayed, whatever the need is, if you have a singleness of heart and the subjective in your life that you want to please Him, He will give you opportunity. And that opportunity is not to be taken lightly. Every time He asks me to do something or even speaks to me, I count that the greatest joy. To go through a day or a week or a month without the Lord speaking to you, it gets lonely. Now I'm not talking about you're not reading your Bible and not praying, that's one thing. But I'll assure you, when you get in the throne room, He knows far more than you do, and He knows how to speak to you things that interest you more than you could ever come up with. What can I talk to God about? And just learn to listen and say, Lord, I'm here by myself wherever You sent me. I'm seizing the opportunity. I want what You want. I want singleness of heart. I want to be separated from the things of the world. I want the desires of my heart to be the desires of Your heart. You think the opportunities won't knock at your door? And the doors and the windows of opportunity will start opening? And just the fact that God of heaven, the Creator God, think of it. The God that spoke it into existence, that knew everything that would happen before it happened, that God wants to speak to you and give you some opportunities to serve Him. Now, if some dignitary would call any one of us, you know, we'd be telling, you know who called me? A certain person. Oh, you would, he called you. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Never happened to me and dignitaries and important people. But what I consider to be the most important is when the God of heaven, now He's got plenty of time. He could speak to every person on planet Earth at the same time and give a million directions to each one, and it wouldn't load Him down one bit, because He's not like we are. He don't have any capacities like we do of not having time. But the fact that He would speak to my heart, the God of heaven, the God that saved me and gave Himself for me, would give me an opportunity to be of service to Him. Boy, that's impressive, is it not? Now, if somebody that important as Him would do that, why would I even think about letting Him down? It would humble my heart. It humbles my heart when He says a word to me. A lot of people don't want Him to speak. You know why? They're afraid He'll tell them something to do that they don't want to do. But rest assured, He won't do that, because if you don't want to do it, nothing's going to happen about it important anyway. But if you have a heart of God, and you learn the instructions that David taught Solomon, and Solomon's teaching us, of course all this is inspired writing of God. Solomon had wisdom, God gave it to him. But these words that He gave us in Proverbs chapter 4 wasn't His words. No, it's far above His words. It's God through Him writing to us. So if we study and look at about four different points this morning, and then we will be closing. We've looked at the obedience factor. We've looked at the opportunity factor. But let's look at one or two other things. He says, "Hear ye children." Oh, we just have a whole book of instructions. And when you read it, every time I read it, I hear something and see something. I've read that all these years. I never saw that before. How many million gold nuggets are in these instructions that no one has ever thought of before? He's never given a lot of people, the same vision that He wants to give. Why? Because He has a different job for you than He does for me. It's always the same thing, singleness of heart to bring glory to His name, but in different ways and different manners. So here, when you open up the pages of God's Word, just in your heart, speak to Him and say, "Lord, I know it's full of instructions, and I want to learn them, and I promise you, I will adhere to them with the best of my ability. I'll need your help, but the desire of my heart is to hear these instructions and to live by it, and whatever it is, the fact that you would speak to me through your Word is an amazing thing. And I have no fear whatsoever what He's going to tell me to do, because I know anything He tells me is a million times better than I could ever think of anyway. You say, there'll be hardships, there'll be sacrifices. Maybe, and that's good. That's when the blessings come. You see, God looks at a willing heart, and one that's willing to do everything. Little Samuel, remember when he was just a little guy over there at Eli's house, the priest? And he hadn't heard God's voice before, and God spoke. He saw something in Samuel that he could use. And he spoke to him. Samuel didn't understand it. Samuel went to Eli. God spoke again. And then after a while, Eli said, "Samuel, if you hear that voice, the only thing you can do is say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" It doesn't matter what God's going to tell Samuel. It was something that he needed. And when you have a desire in your heart to seize the opportunity and to be obedient to the call, then the blessings start coming. And we're not serving God just for blessings. Solomon didn't, neither should you, because the blessings will be automatically. I just ask a personal question to you this morning. I believe this question is from the Lord. If you were to analyze your prayer life, as I would try to analyze mine, I wonder what percentage of your prayer would be asking for things. Do this, do this, do that. We've got a pretty good list, don't we? And that's okay. But there probably would be a better list just to say, Lord, I'm yours. Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. You think little Samuel knew anything about what God wanted him to do in the future? No. And if he tried to plan his own life, it wouldn't have come to the great things that he did, had God used little Samuel as a prophet. And so God has a way that passeth all your ways and my ways. And if we would just want to hear his voice and do as Samuel said, speak, Lord, not only will I hear it, I will seize the opportunity, I will be obedient to your call, I'll be about your business, doesn't matter what it costs, doesn't matter, because God's got it all figured out. And all he wants from you and I is to hear the instructions. Keep reading verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instructions of the Father, and attend to no understanding. You see, wisdom is one thing, but the text clearly divides it, and wisdom is one thing, but understanding is even better. The wisdom to know what to do is one thing, but the understanding how to apply yourself to do it. Now, you could write books about things and how to do different things. You know, you say, I might want to build a windmill. Or you could research it and design it and all that. But on paper, it wouldn't be much, would it? But if you had the understanding and made application to build a windmill, whatever it is, it makes application to your life. The opportunity, the resources, God provides all them, and you might say, well, I can't do much. I'm limited. Oh, God's not limited in his ability to help you. The understanding, one other thing, and we're closing. Verse 2. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. You see, the law of God is perfect. It's pre-planned, and it will meet the needs of your heart and mind. God has given us such a wonderful nation. And as you look at our nation, how God once favored it and blessed it, and now it seems to me as though God is withdrawing his hand. More floods, more disasters, more sin, more despair. And we know what God did to Israel over and over. They were his people. He withdrew his hand. And that'd be one thing, and that'd be a terrible thing if God should withdraw his hand from America. He did Israel. But he did more than that. Many times the scripture is very clear and says, and God sent enemies against Israel. Now, if God sends enemies, who's going to stop them? Whatever God sends, he's doing right by doing it. And the only recourse we have is to seize the opportunity of today and obey and understand what God wants us to do as Christians. We can't solve any other problem, but we can surely learn that. The instructions and the law of God, opportunities, and to take advantage of everything he's given us, and obedience is the key. If you have a willing heart and say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I want to be obedient to it, he will give you opportunity to do that he has called you to do. And all we have to do is have the understanding how to do it. And we don't even know that, but we trust a God that does. If he calls you to do something, he's quite able to achieve it in your heart. Obedience and opportunities. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bound. If you'll come back and sing that last song you guys sang, if you would please. The blessings of God be on you, your family, our nation. Oh, how we need to touch a God. And if God is withdrawing his hand, he's doing right by doing it. Because we as a nation have said, God, we don't want you. Don't want your son's name mentioned. We don't want prayers to be heard. Our nation has said all this. We want our laws, not your laws. And if God does cut us off and send the enemy, he's done right. And I pray he doesn't. But the only recourse I've got is to understand what he wants me to do and pray that God will withhold his hand of chastisement and not send the enemies. You say, oh, God would never do that. He did Israel. And God will do what he wants to do and needs to do. And whatever he does, it'll be right. But that doesn't excuse you and I. What do we need to do? Obedient and seize the opportunities. Would you sing that song? Altar's open. Listen to God. God's got a work for you to do and for me. It may be prayer. Whatever it is, would you be obedient to God's voice?